last week we left off on Yud Aleph Amar Aleph, and the Gemara also Kedibe B'Shamay L'Yosef Aloy Klum. What was the Machloikis Hamaroyim? We don't pass me like B'Shamay. Of course L'Yosef Aloy Klum. What's the Shaila? So Tosfos interpreted one way. Tosfos gave one shot. And the Mishkan is Yankiv, and his Sefer on this daf, Kohelis Yankiv, gives a different shot. Tosfos learned that Beis Hillel disagree with Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai hold, but Erev, that's what the Mishnah quotes, the bottom of Yudam Beis. When you're saying Kriya Shema, Balaylo, Kolodam Yatav Yikri, you have to recite Kriya Shema in a reclining position. That's Beshoch Becho. And in the morning, when you say Kriya Shema, in the morning, Kolodam Ya'amod, you have to stand. Uvikumecho. The Torah tells you what position you should be in when you recite Kriya Shema. Mesillah say no, Balechtucha Baderach Kolodim Kariki Darkai. That the Torah and the Taz and Simen Ches and Ilchot Sitzes quotes a Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is easygoing. It's not like a Melech Basu Adam. Melech Basu Adam sends a letter to his subjects and he requires everyone has to stand up and attention when they read the letter out of respect for the Melech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is easygoing. He said, I want you to be Mekabel HaMach Shamayim. You can be Abmida, be Yeshiva, be Hatoya, you can be reclining, sitting, standing, whatever you want. He's not come as you are. He's not Makhtar. So that's the Shaila. According to Beis Hillel, it's not just that the Pasuk doesn't require. How did Beis Hillel translate B'Shach B'Kamecha? B'Zman Shchiva, B'Zman Kima. Tells you the din of B'Zman Kriyashma. There's an earliest man and the latest man. So this man. B'Shammai agree, but they say in addition to that, it tells me also the position you have to be in when you recite Kriya Shema. In the morning you have to stand, and in the evening you have to be reclining. B'Silva say no. Not only that it's not necessary, it's Keneged Adin. You're not supposed to go to a specific position. You shouldn't dafke stand up in the morning to say Kriya Shema. You shouldn't dafke recline in the evening. That's a violation of the din. So that's the machlokes in the Gemara. Also, kedivrei Beis Shammai, we pass on like Beis Hillel. So what if you want to be machma like Beis Shammai? So usually, if you want to be machma gezunt tehet, so the Gemara says, but over here, Beis Hillel learned pshat in the pasuk. It's a din. You're not supposed to go out of your way to recite Kriya Shema in a special position. So maybe because you weren't supposed to, maybe it means you're not yotzei. So that's where the Gemara comes to. The Gemara has a machlokes. One opinion is you're not yotze. If you say Kriya Shema and you go out of your way to recline in the evening and you go out of your way to stand up in the morning, that's not just that's not required. You're not allowed to do that. The Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't want you to be in a specific position. So if you go out of your way, Beis Hillel would say you're not yotze Kriya Shema. Moshe Lamadav Adayma, that you're not allowed to, if you have a sukkah. So there's machlokes b'shamay Beis Hillel. This is one of the six cases where we pass like b'shamay against Beis Hillel. So if you have a gigantic sukkah the size of this room, and he's going to sit right at the edge, instead of sitting in the middle, he sits right at the edge of the sukkah, and the table with the food is out of the sukkah. So every time he wants to get a bite of food, he has to lean out of the sukkah. He's over here. He leans out of the sukkah, he gets some food, and he takes it in, he leans back and he eats it. If he'll lean out and eat the food out of the sukkah, he's not yotze. You have to have Rosh HaVeruba v'sarcha sukkah. So if he's Rosh HaVeruba in the sukkah, v'shulchana v'sarcha bayis, so v'shamay say, you're not allowed to do that midrabbanan. Over here, it says, l'lechtecha baderach kolodim karek yedaka. This is a din deraisa. That you're not supposed to go out of your way. There it's only a din derabbanan. But still, the din derabbanan, according to Beis Shammai, that you're not allowed to sit at the edge of the sukkah, keep on leaning out, exere derabbanan, shemi moshe chach shulchan, lean out and eat the food out. So if you did like Beis Shammai, you ate in the sukkah in a way that you weren't supposed to mid derabbanan. So the Lashon HaGemara was in Keno Siso, Keno. You're not even yotze b'diyeved. Shaita, whether you're not yotze min haTorah, you're not yotze min derabbanan. But they both agree, you're not yotze. Either at least min derabbanan, either min haTorah min derabbanan, you're not yotze. So just like over there, if you do like Beis Hillel against this Gzeirah Derabbanan. Beis Shammai say you're not Yotzei, so to over here, if you do like Beis Shammai, also we'd say you're not Yotzei. Because Beis Hillel, here we pass like Beis Hillel, there we pass like Beis Shammai. So if you do like Beis Hillel over there by the Silke, according to Beis Shammai, you did Shaloi Kedin. So they say you're not Yotzei the Silke. And over here, if you do like Beis Shammai, here we pass like Beis Hillel. If you do like Beis Shammai, we would say you're not Yotzei at all. Because the Torah said, doesn't matter what the Torah says or the Chachamim say, if you did a mitzvah in a way that you weren't supposed to do like that, either Manatar and Rabban, that you're not Yotzei. That's how Tosfos interprets the Gemara. Medivrei Beis Hillel over there, you can learn if you do like Beis Shammai over here. Yeah. And the Mishkan Es Yankev had a totally different shot. So he said, we have a concept of Eilu Eilu Divil Kim Chaim. That appeared, the original statement, Eilu Eilu Divil Kim Chaim, is in Erev in the end of the first parak, Gimel Amud Beis. So what does it mean, Eilu Eilu Divil Kim Chaim? Even though we paskan like Beis Hillel halacha lemaise, but when we spend time to learn Beis Shammai's opinion, which it says bitul Torah, someone wrote a dry Torah in a Beis Yitzchak, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. So it's bitul Torah. If you're going to read it, it's a joke. It's a joke book. If you know it's wrong, if you know a person wrote a shtitl Torah, people told you it's incorrect. So that's bitul Torah. So how do we spend time learning Beis Shammai Shita? It's bitul Torah. The answer is, the Beis Hillel and the Beis Shammai, they were both working with the Midrash HaTorah Nidrash, and Beis Shammai came to other conclusions. But that's Divrei Elokim Chaim. That was, if they would have been in the majority, we would have passed them like Beis Shammai. They were using the Yud Gimel Midas. So it's considered a Heftza Shal Torah, and you make the mitzvah of Talmud Torah if you learn the Shita as Beis Shammai. Is that all? Or do you say Eilu Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim is even more than that? So that's what the Mishkan Es Yankev quotes six different halachas where it's relevant not only your Mekayim Talmud Torah when you spend time learning Beis Shammai's opinion. It's even relevant halacha lemaisa sometimes, the shita that was outvoted, the shita that we don't paskan like. So one case the Gemara has is Safek Garla B'chutzal La'aretz. And daf we learned daf lamed vav. When there's a machlokes regarding Orlo in Eretz Yisrael, so we figured out what the psak is. So let's say there's a machlokes hatanoim where in certain cases Orlo, we pass them that it is Orlo. When it comes to chutz la'aretz, as long as there's a minority opinion, even though we don't follow that opinion, in Eretz Yisrael we don't pass them like that. Orlo b'chutz la'aretz, a safek Orlo b'chutz la'aretz says lahakel. Not only a Safik in Mitzia, so Safik in Din as well. So Safik Olu B'chutz La'aretz L'Hakel. So even if you have a Machlokes, Hatanoim, and Rov Hatanoim say L'Chumra, Miut Hatanoim say L'Kula. So in Eretz Yisrael, the Chumash talks about Orla B'Eretz Yisrael, Parashas Kedoshim, Kisavoy El Ha'aretz, Unetaitim Kolets, Maicha V'Araltim Arlosa, Sholoshonim Arelim Yolachem Lo Yeyochel. It's a Pasuk in Chumash. So we have, if you have a suffix, what the din is, you follow the rive. Achar Rav Nahat, you follow the rive. But Orla B'chutz La'aretz doesn't say in Chumash. We assume it's only as Machlokes in the Gemara. What is the Rai said, the Rabban? We paskin. We assume it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai. And we assume, like the Ramban, that usually Halacha Moshe Mesinai is a din that Rai said suffix L'chumer. Suffix Halacha Moshe Mesinai L'chumer. But suffix Orla B'chutz La'aretz Kach Nemer Halacha. That suffix Orla B'chutz La'aretz is L'hakel. Whether it's a Sveika Dina or a Safik Emetzias, it's going to be Lahakel. So Safik Lohara should have meant 50-50 Safik. But here it's not 50-50. We're talking that the Rov HaTanoim say Lachumer. That's why in Eretz Yisrael we would be Machma, Halacha HaRoiv. But Safik Golub Chutz Lords, the Halacha was a Safik Koldahu is sufficient. That's the expression that the Ran on the Rif writes at the end of the first parak in Kiddushin. Where the Mishnah appears, the original source is the Mishnah in Kiddushin, that Kol Mitzvahs Hanagav Baretz, Kol HaMitzvahs, what is it? The Mitzvahs HaTluyas Baretz, Ein Nahagas Ela Be'oretz. All the agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Planting Kilayim, and Trumas and Maises, and Shmita V'Yovel, and Leket Shikhopeya, Afrosh HaSchalo. All the agriculture mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. And there are a few exceptions to the rule. So it says that Orla is one of the exceptions. And it says it's halacha. The Gemara is not sure. What do you mean halacha? Halacha means mehilchas medina. It's a din midrabanan. Or it's halacha l'moshe misina. So most assume that it's halacha l'moshe misina. We had, there was a Rashi on Daf Lamed Vav, where Rashi sounds like he's learning that it's midrabanan. Rashi comments on that Gemara that Sofik Orla b'chutz l'oretz is lahokel, because Orla b'chutz l'oretz is only midrabanan. That's the Rashi Lamed Vav. Why did Rashi have to take a stand it's midrabanan? The Gemara in the end of the first parak in Kiddushin asks the question. If you all that Orla b'chutz l'oretz halacha l'moshe misina, so it should be sveika l'chumre. So why is it din Sofik Orla b'chutz l'oretz l'kula? The Gemara says kach nemar halacha. The Sofik Orla b'chutz l'oretz says l'kula, even if you hold that it's halacha l'moshe misina. It's an exception to the rule of Sofik d'oretz l'chumre. So why did Rashi say over here Sofik Orla b'chutz l'oretz l'kula? Because Orla b'chutz l'oretz is only midrabbana. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara said b'feirush in Kiddushin, even if you hold that Orla b'chutz l'oretz halacha l'moshe misina, it's still sveika l'kula. That's a problem. So some of the mefarshim explain that Rashi perhaps understood Sofik Orla b'chutz l'oretz l'kula, we're human beings, so we're not going to know everything. We don't know. We're not going to be omniscient. The Rebbe Shlom knows everything. We don't know everything. So there's a din. Sofik Orla, if you don't know what the facts are, Sofik Orla b'chutz l'oretz is l'kula. What if you don't know what the din is? You don't know what the din is, so break your head and figure out the din. If you don't know what the facts are, what are you going to do? You don't have Ruach HaKodesh? How are you going to know? So you try to, you do research, try to find out when was the tree planted. Is it within the first 3 years or not within? You can't do it. You did all the research, still don't know the facts. So Allah Moshe Messina says, Sofik Orla b'chutz l'oretz l'kula. But you can't have Allah Moshe Messina, how to paskin when you don't know what the din is. Ask, get a conference, get 100 rabbis. And lock the door and say, you're not going to let anybody walk out of the room until they come to a maskana. No. So that's what some of them have first say there. Rashi, on this Gemara, Rashi says, Orla b'chutz l'oretz is the Rabbanon, because the Gemara is applying Sofik Orla b'chutz l'oretz to a Sveika Adina, not only to a Sofik Gemetzi. That only makes sense if you hold Orla b'chutz l'oretz the Rabbanon. If it's the Raisa, it doesn't make sense to say Sofik Sveika Adina should be Mut. There's going to be halacha out of paskum when you don't know this, what the din is. That doesn't make sense. Break your head and figure out what the din is. Otherwise, you never have to work hard. Any shayla that you have in halacha, why do you have to ask a rabbi? If it's a din deraisa, go l'chumra. It's a din derabbana, go l'kula. You're not sure if it's a din deraisa, din derabbana. It's a sofik deraisa l'chumra. Okay. Unless you know about that, it's a din derabbana. That's not called the Sofik Deraisa L'chumra Sofik Rabbanan L'kula. Break your head and figure out what the din is. That's what Tosis explains. Tosis in Chorah says it doesn't make sense to say the halacha is going to tell you how to paskin when you have a Sveika Adina. The halacha should never tell you how to paskin a Sveika Adina. You should never have a Sveika Adina. Figure out what the din is. So that's a question over here. But we don't, that's not the accepted opinion. We assume that Orla b'chutz l'oretz halacha l'moshe misinai, and we still hold that Sofik Orla b'chutz l'oretz l'hakel even a sveika d'dina. That's a hesber in Rashi. Why Rashi didn't say like that, but that's not the accepted opinion. We assume Orla b'chutz l'oretz halacha l'moshe misinai, and still you makel on a sveika d'dina. So the Ran uses that expression in the end of the first parak. The Ran on the Rif, the end of the first parak in Kiddushin, he says a Sofik kol dehu is also good enough. Sofik kol dehu means that it's not 50-50. It's 80% of the Tanoim say l'chumra and 20% say l'kula. So that's not, that's usually not considered a Sofik. But it's called a Sofik kol dehu. Because Eilu v'eilu divi l'kim chayim, so that's enough to consider a Sofik kol dehu. Or l'v'chutz l'art, any Sofik kol dehu is l'hokka. Where else do you have such a din as Sofik Oldu? The Gemara has by Avelus. Sofik Avelus Lekula. So we usually assume Avelus is all midirabonim. But not everyone agrees. The Rambam follows the Rif, who follows the Gaonim, that Avelus Yamrishon is the Raisa. The first day of Shiva is a din minat Torah. provided that it's Yom HaMisa VeHakvura. If the person was buried the same day that he died, then the Rambam says that the first day will be Yom HaMisa VeHakvura, will be an Avelus Deraisa. So would you say Sofik Avelus LeKula even when it's Deraisa, or only when Avelus is Derabonin? So the Ramban wrote a Sefer Torah Sa'odam, and he has all of Hilchas Avelus there. The Ramban was a doctor. So Torah Sa'odam is about what laws does the doctor have to know, a religious doctor, what laws does he have to know if he's delivering a baby on Shabbos or delivering a baby in the weekdays? What do you have to know? Then what do you have to know when you're treating patients when they're no longer babies? How are you allowed to treat? When are you allowed to treat babies? Are you allowed to treat all patients? So the Ramban has a whole Torah Sodom, and then he has all the Hilchas Avelus. What if you weren't successful in treating the patient? The patient died. So what's the din of ripping Kriya? What's the din of Avelus? Then once he talks about the din of Avelus when someone dies, so he talks about the din of Avelus on Tisha B'Av and Shavuos HaMetam. He doesn't talk about Yom Kippur. Observing Yom Kippur is not because of Avelus. There's a mitzvah of Simcha on Yom Kippur, just like Rosh Hashanah. We say Shachyanu on Yom Kippur like on Rosh Hashanah, because there's a chi of Simcha on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur cancels Shiva, because Avelus, Simchas Yontif, and Avelus are attached to Sasri. So what we observe on Yom Kippur is not because of Avelus. So he doesn't, in the Sefer Torah, he does not Hilchas Tisha B'Av. He has Hilchas Tisha B'Av, but he does not Hilchas Yom Kippur there. So the Ramban in the Torah Sa'adam quotes the Tosfos in Erevin. We have that Tosfos in Erevin. We don't always have all the Tosfos imprinted in Bamberg or Shas. We don't have all the Tosfos printed that the Rishonim quote. Every so often they quote the Tosfos that we're missing. Because when Mr. Bamberger, the Nochri, when he decided to print the Talmud Bavli, he got a rabbi to figure out how to lay out the page. And if you had a gigantic Tosfos and Lamed Vav and Aleph, there's no room to put the Tosfos, so he left it out. Or sometimes they abridge the Tosfos, or sometimes we're missing lines, sometimes missing half a Tosfos, missing a lot. So this Tosfos we do have. The Ramban and the Torah Sardin quotes the Tosfos, and everyone have it. So in the Lamed Aleph, it's where the Gemara has the whole list. Ramer Abiyud, Alachik Abiyud, Abai V'Rabat, Alach is always like Abai, except for Yalka Gam. Where has a whole list goes on and on and on and on, Tanoim and Amoraim. Whenever there's a machlekes, how do you paskin? So on that daf, on the Omer Aleph, it's on the Omer Beis and on the Omer Aleph. So on the Omer Aleph, there's a little Tosfos on Omer Aleph. And Tosfos quotes this from the Tshuvas HaGaonim. Even if Tosfos' opinion is, the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosfos. Tosfos' opinion is that all Avelus is the Rabbanon, even Avelus Yambishan is only the Rabbanon. That's how we paskin. But Tosfos quotes the Tshuvas HaGaonim, even though the Gaonim are of the opinion that the first day of Shiva is the Raisif, Tiyam HaMisa VaHakvura, he still says Sofik Avelus LeKula. Why? It's a Sofik Deraisa. So it must be a Pasuk. Must be a Pasuk. So the Mishkan is Yankiv. He's guessing. He's trying to figure out what could the Pasuk possibly be. Mishkan is Yankiv didn't have the Torah Sa'adim, but he guessed right. He gets the same pasuk that the Ramban quotes in the name of the Goyim, that there's a pasuk. Where do you learn out that Avelus is deraisa? Where is the Ramak and Chumash? Then the deraisa has to be a pasuk in Chumash. So the Ramban explains that this shitas Chachmei Svarad, all the Chachmei Svarad hold like that, that Avelus and Rishon is deraisa, is learned out from the pasuk that says that a Kohen is not allowed to mitame lemeis, the beginning of Parshas Amor, unless it's one of the seven relatives. And the fact that the Kohen is metame to the seven relatives is a form of Nihu Gavelus. So the Pasuk doesn't say what, you know, just to be metame lemeis, to participate in the Kvura is a chelik of Nihu Gavelus. The Rambam writes in Hilchus Avelus, Kama chamuri hi mitzvus Avelus, she nitches mi panecho isa tumas koyanim. Look how chomer the Inyan Avelus is in America. There are Jews who don't observe Shabbos, Kashmir, Taras, and Mishpacha. They only sit Shiva and they say Yisker and Yartzeit. That's all. The whole Torah. The whole 613 mitzvahs rest on one. One mitzvah, Avelus. That's the whole thing. By us, we have, by Orthodox Jews, the death plays a very insignificant role. But we don't, we don't, make such a big fuss out of that. Many have the practice bedavka never to visit the graves of their relatives who passed away. But by some people, that's the whole religion. That's all they do is kavod ames. So Sifra has a comment on the pasuk in the beginning of Bahar. A kohen is not allowed to be mitam in the meis unless it says on kol nafshes mes leyover lo avi vinim alach velachalas yitame. He's permitted and obligated to be mitami to the zayin kohen. That's a neo gavelus. So the Sifra has drushes there. What is the list of avim ochiv achoso? Wouldn't I understand on my own? All the relatives. Why do you mention all the relatives? So the Gemara says, just like the mother is a vadai, that the baby bounces out of the mother's womb. So we know who the if the doctor who delivered the baby is here, so we know who the mother is. So a lot of times we're not so sure who the father is. A lot of times we're not so sure who's the brother and the sister. A woman remarry soon after the first husband died, or soon after the first husband divorced her. She's not supposed to remarry for 3 months. If you wait 3 months, that's called havchana. So you'll know whether the child that will be born later after she remarries, was she pregnant with the child from the first husband or is the child from the second husband? So he's supposed to wait 92 days, 90 full days between the day that the husband gave her the get and the day that she remarried. Tzadik beis yom, you need havchana. They la havchim in zarish al rishon and zarish al sheni. So if she didn't wait havchana, and she had a baby soon after remarrying the second husband, you don't know whether this is a child of the first husband or the second husband. So you don't know who's a sibling, you don't know which one is the father, first husband, second husband. So the din is that a kohen is only mitameh if it's a vadai relative. If it's a suffix relative, it's not mitameh. So the Mishkan Yanka quote says on his own, and the Ramban says this is what the Goinim said. That pasuk tells you not only when there's a suffix, the coin is not mitamei. When there's a suffix, there's no avelus, because the whole source of the chi of avelus is kama chamur hi mitzvus avel shenitches pemen atumas koyanim. The fact that the coin is mitamei to the kroivim is a form of nihug avelus. That's where the goyim got the shita from that pasuk. Lo yitamo. That's one of the three psukim that there's a machlokes, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, and Soita, Dav Gimel, and Aleph. One of the three psukim is, Lachos HaPsula Shalohos HaLish, Lo Yitama. Lo Yitama means he's permitted to be Mitame to the seven relatives, but if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, and we don't accept Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. He passed like Rabbi Akiva. Lo Yitama is a chayv, you're mechuyif to be Mitame. Why? Because being Mitame lameis is a nihug avelus, and nihug avelus is their isa. At least avelus yamrishon is their isa. That's how the Chachmei Svarad understood. So thereby nihug avelus, by lo yitama, the mitzvah of the kohen to be mitame to the zayin kroivim, the Sifra learns out imo ma imo vaday af kol vaday. Whenever it's a suffix, there's no nihug avelus. He's not mitame lemeis, because there's no chiyuv avelus. And based on that pasuk, that's why we say even a suffix koldahu. Pasuk goes out of its way to say any suffix koldahu, even though avelus and rishon is deraisa, you don't say suffix deraisa lechumer, you say suffix avelus lekula. So that's what the Gemara says. Komach mishatamotzi, Rabbi machmirim v'yochid meikel. If there's machloikas hatanoi, machloikas in din, even machloikas achrayim, what the din is. And the rabbim say lechumra, so you go lechumra. You go lechumra, even if it's an issue of the rabbanon. That's not called sveka the rabbanon lekula. But if it's an inyone avelus, aloch gederam mekel ba'ovel, even though it's a minority opinion. So that's what the Mishkan is Yankov said. That's based on elu yelu divilikim chaim. When a person, when a certain shita is rejected, there was a machlekes tanoim, a machlekes amarayim. When an opinion is rejected, it doesn't mean that we assume he's wrong. The Torah says, Achrayam al-Hatas, they're both right in a certain sense. How can it be they're both right? What do you mean, Elia? Either one is right, or the other was right. How can they both be right? So the Ritvor writes on Erevin, on that daf, on Yud Gimel, on base, He says, Moshe Lamad Davidayma, when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching him all the dinim. So he asked the Rebbeinu Shalom, what's the din in this case? Rebbeinu Shalom was teaching him Hilchus Tzitzis, Hilchus Tfilin, Hilchus Shabbos. He said, what's the din in this case? Rebbeinu Shalom says, L'chumra, it's Osa. What's the din in that case? L'kula. What's the din in the third case? Rebbeinu Shalom says, has elements of Isa, elements of Heta, elements of Ptur, elements of Chiyuv, elements of Psul, elements of Hechsher. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to leave it up to the Hachro of the Chachme HaTor, Shebechol Dor V'Dor, to determine what they think the Halach is. So that's called the Elim Yeh, the Divi L'Kim Chaim. The Rebbeinu Shalom and Hasina told Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a gray area. That Shaila that you're asking is a gray area of Halach. And he leaves it up to the determination of the Chachme HaTor, Shebechol Dor V'Dor. So that's called the Elim Yeh, the Divi L'Kim Chaim. So we say, not only if it's a 50-50 sofek, even if it's a raif, and basically the din should be, whenever this issue comes up, we're going to follow the raif. Whenever this issue comes up, and it's the get tavelus, and the exact same shayla, when it's not the get tavelus, we follow the rabbim. When the same shayla is the get tavelus, then we follow the minority opinion. So you have it by all of the chutzlarts, sofek kolder is enough, and by avelus also. Even if you hold avelus, Yom Rishon is their Isa, you still say, Alokhi de Ramneka ba'ovel. Where else does it apply this idea? So the Mishkan Sanke, so the Kohelis Yanke, van this Dav, and Daf Yeram says, it's relevant, does it constitute Amidus Chasidus to be Machma like the minority opinion? We don't pass like the minority. We say, Eilu Yeru Divit Kim Chaim. It's not a real Sofik de Raisa. Sofik de Raisa the Chumra. So there is a 50-50. It's not a 50-50. It's 85% of the Tanoim say one way, and 15% say the other way. So you should ignore the other Shita. But the Torah's Midas Chasidus, it would constitute the Midas Chasidus to be Machmer like the minority opinion. To be Machmer like the minority opinion. That you have in Mishnayos and Beitzah like that. The Tanoim say, Rabbi Gamliel says, his family has a tradition to be machmer like the Shita that we don't really paskan like. It's Amidas Chasidus. And the flip side of that would be, let's say there's a machloikis, and if you're going to be machmer, it's going to be a big hefse berubin. So it's going to be a big shas hatrak. You're dealing with a big shas hatrak. So the shas hatrak, yidayhu, the minority opinion, list machola b'shas hatrak. The Gemara has that in a few places. But all it, one case was here by Kriya Shema. The Rabbi Gamliel's children came back from the Beis HaMishdei after Chatzais. And they hadn't yet said Kriya Shema. So the Shaila was, can they recite Kriya Shema with the Birchas? Can they say Kriya Shema Gezunta? Hey, there's not an issue. You can learn whatever you want, whenever you want. That's not an issue. The Shaila, can they say Kriya Shema with the Birchas Kriya Shema after Chatzais? Maybe it'll be a Brochel of Atolim. So usually, the Chachamim would say, you're not allowed, the Shita and the Mishnah, you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema after Chatzos Midnight, you're not allowed to say Birchas Kriya Shema after midnight. But if they went to a wedding, it was a Makkah Mitzvah, and they didn't say Kriya Shema yet, because they were dancing there, being the Samech, and they came home way after Chatzos, so Kedaihu Raploni, Lis Mahola B'Shas Hatchah. If you're dealing, that's what the Shach writes in Yerdev, if you're dealing with a Din de Rabbanon, and there is a Din, Sveka de Rabbanon Lekula. But over here, it's not really a legitimate Sveka Rabbanon. It's not 50-50. It's 85-15. The overwhelming majority say one way. So then we say, if it's a din de Rabbanon, and on the books there's a din, Sofik de Rabbanon Lekula, so if there's a big Hefsid Meruba, then you can say, Kedai Raplein, Lis Mochala B'Shas Hatchak. You can be make a like minority opinion, if it's a big Hefsid Meruba, a big Shas Hatchak. Where else do you have it? The Gemara has it in Masechah Shabbos in the third parak by Muktzah. Tilta Muktzah is a din de Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, Kedayu, the Shita Sayochet, to rely b'shas hatchak. Where else the Gemara in the beginning of Nida has it? The din is a woman becomes a Nida now at 11 o'clock in the morning. So we have to be machmim b'de Rabbanon. If she touched Truma v'kotshim in the last 24 hours, she's Tmeil Amafreya. She knows now she has a Riaz Dam at 11 o'clock in the morning. It could be that she had the Riaz Dam already before. So that's the din of Tumas Meis Leis. We assume that Chumra Midr Rabbanon, but in our Torah there is no such din. So Chumra Midr Rabbanon, that you metame the woman Lamafreya as of 24 hours before the time that she found the dam. And what if she touched a lot of taris? So you're going to be machme, you're going to pass a lot of truma, a lot of kachim. So the Gemara says, if it's going to be a hefse beruba, that you won't be able to eat it at all. Truma tmei, you're not allowed to eat it at all. So kedai v'sheit tzayach, lis mechol b'shas atchad. That's based on the assumption that eila v'eila divad kimchaim, not only in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, when you learn b'sham ha-shite, there's a kiyam ha-mitzvah, because everything they said was based on midah shatem v'yashatem. Even halacha l'maisa, we sometimes say, divad kimchaim. B'shas atchad, if it's a din derabon, there's a big hefse beruba, you can rely on the shita sayach. So those are already four cases, what we say. So we started to tell over last week, there is a machlokes ha-tanaim in a Mishnah in Gittin. How many shtaris need ksiva l'shma? But strictly speaking, only the three shtaris that affect the change in Issa v'hetter. A man is Mekadosh and Isha Vishtar, we don't do that. By us, the Ksuba is not a Shtar Kiddushin. We're Mekadosh and Isha with the ring. Shavu Kesef is Kekesef. You're Mekadosh with the ring. But theoretically, you could have been Mekadosh be Kiddush Shtar. So you change the status of the woman. That's a Shtar that's accomplishing a change in Isha Veheta. So the Shtar Kiddushin has to be written Lishma. The original passage that says you need Lishma only says by a get. How do you know by Shtar Kedushin also you need Ksiva L'shma? Gemara says, Makash Havai L'Yetziyah. In the same pasuk it talks about getting married, getting divorced. That's how you know two things. That's how you know that there's such a thing as Kedush Shtar. You know that there's Gerishin B'Shtar. That's the only way to get divorced is by a get, by a Shtar. But Kedush Shtar is learned after Makash Havai L'Yetziyah. Kedush and Gerishin are written in the same pasuk. So not only do you learn out the institution of Kedush Shtar from that pasuk, you learn out that the Shtar Kedushin has to be written Lishma, because the get has to be written Lishma, because of law Lishma. And the third get, the third Shtar that has to be written Lishma, is the Shtar Shichar Evi Knaini. If I sell an Evi Knaini from one person to the other, you don't need Ksiva Lishma. That's plain Shtar Mammon. But if you Mishachar an Evi Knaini, and now he has to observe all the mitzvahs, not just the mitzvahs that the women are Mechuyiv to, so then the Shtar Shichar Evi Knaini needs Ksiva Lishma. So the Mishnah in Gittin quotes a machlokes ha-tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda has an awkward opinion. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that every shtar momen needs ksiva l'shma midirabbanim. We clearly do not follow that opinion, because then you can never use a shtar mechiras chametz or ksuba, that's a printed form, or a tanoim, or what else do we use? Any shtar momen. You can't use a printed form and just fill in the names, because you need ksiva l'shma and everything. And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, well, we don't pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is there's a chumra midirabbanan if you'll allow people to write shtori momen, shalom l'shma, have a printed text and just fill in the words. Next thing you know is that people will make a printed form for shtori kiddushin and for a get, and that'll be possible because you need ksiva l'shma. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was never machmer for that. He would, when he would come to a wedding, the people would ask him to fill out the ksuba. So he would take a printed text of a ksuba and fill in the lengths, fill in the city, fill in the date, and show him. So every so often, Rav Lezer Silver would fly in from Cincinnati if he was invited to a wedding. And he would come in late. And he was a colorful person, a very colorful character. So you make a whole production about the fact that you can't use a printed text. You have to be machma like Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So he'd rip up Rav Moshe's ksuba. Rav Moshe wouldn't say a word. He would rip up Rav Moshe's ksuba, and he would write the whole ksuba by hand on a piece of paper. Rav Moshe wouldn't say a word, but Rav Moshe printed tshuvas. So Rav Moshe got the last word. So Rav Moshe printed a tshuva. He talks about something else, and then he says, as a Moshe, he said, would anybody in his right mind think that there's a midas chasidus to write a ksuba l'shma? Because there's a sheet in the Mishnah, I've used his opinion. He said, nobody does it, it's not correct. Why not? So he says like this. The Gemara says on Lamed Vav Amid Beis, that Halacha de Ramekel, Be'orla Bechutz Lords, because all you need is a Safik called the hoop. So what do you do if you have a Machlokes, Be'shama and Be'silil, about berries that grow on a bush? Be'silil's opinion is that berries that grow on a bush are bird priho eitz, a bush is an eitz, and it has all the dinam of a tree. So a bush has the din of arlo. Vegetables is no din of arlo. The pasuk of arlo says in Parshas Kedoshim, You have to plant the tree. So there was a machloek says Bisham and Bisil regarding berries on a bush. Is that considered an Eitz Michael or is that considered like a vegetable? So Bisil hold that it's a Vadai tree and it's a Vadai a din of Arla. And it's Bari Pihuay, no Shali what the broch. The Bisham hold it's a Sveka Adina. Whether a bush has the din of a tree or has a din of a vegetable, berries are grown on a bush. So the Gemara says, why shouldn't we be Makel? In Eretz Yisrael, we say, L'chumre, berries that grow on a bush are subject to the laws of Arla. So if a Arla Eretz Yisrael is L'chumre, so we, of course, we have to be Machma like Bezillah. But in Chutz Laretz, why can't we be Makel like Beshamai? We say, was originally formulated with respect to Beshamai and Bezillah. So we say, by Beshamai and Bezillah. So why shouldn't we be makel on all berries that grow on a bush in Chutz Laretz? There should never be a din of Arla, and we don't pass them like that. So the Gemara says a statement, Beisham b'makom misil eina mishnah. We ignore totally Beisham's opinion. It's not considered lalach at all. Elu yele, the original statement, Elu yele divlekim chayim, appears in connection with Beisham b'misil. But it applies Beisham Bezillah less than it applies to every other machlokes. Every other machlokes, not only does it apply, it's not bittul torah to learn the sheet that was rejected, it's sometimes even relevant to halacha l'maisa. And Beisham Bezillah, absolutely not relevant to halacha l'maisa. Beisham Bezillah ain't a mishnah. It doesn't count at all halacha l'maisa. It counts to learn to divrei l'kim chaim, to learn divrei torah. You have to talmud torah by learning Beisham Shita, but it's not relevant to halacha. Why not? Why should Beisham and Bezillah be different from any other machlokes? That dafke by the machlokes Beisham and Bezillah, where the original statement was formulated, there we say Beisham and Bezillah ain't a mishnah. So Moshe Feinstein thinks there could be a different explanation. Moshe writes in that tshuva where he's disagreeing with Ablezer Silver. So he thinks that the reason why is because they used to learn in the same base medrash. At the end of the day, every day, they would say, okay, now we're going to go take a vote. And they voted. It's a difference if you have a machlokes, yochid verabim, from two different cities. The Ksos and the Nesivis lived in two different cities. The Shach and the Taz lived in two different cities. The Mogan Avraham and the Taz lived in two different periods. They were not contemporaries at all. Ksos and the Nesivis were contemporaries. They corresponded. They wrote that. But they didn't learn together in the same base medrash. So that's still a din. You go baser rabim. But if they're together in the same base medrash and they're outvoted, the minority is outvoted, then we say it's kemisha eno. Then you say it's not relevant to halacha l'maaseh. So that's what Ramosha thinks. Any time that there's a machlokes satanaim, and they were omdu l'minyan, they were together in the same base medrash and they took a vote, so Beisham and Bezillah were always in the same base medrash. That's how it came about the 18, the Yud Ches Dover. That the Beis Shammai looked around one fine day, they saw hardly anybody there from Beis Hillel. So they ran through 18 Gzeiros in one day. And the Beis Hillel were not happy, they didn't agree. But then the next day, the rest of the Beis Hillel came back, and they all agreed to the 18 Gzeiros. But you see that Beis Shammai and Silver were in the same Beis Medrash. So Ramosh assumes that the same is true regarding this machlokes of Yehuda and the Rabban. How does he know? I don't know, but that's what he assumes. The Rabbi Yehuda was outvoted. They were all b'may merechad. Rabbi Yehuda and Mishnah Gittin, that all story moment have to be written in Shema. You can't have a printed text and just fill in the names by the Shtar Mechiras Chametz or Ksuba. Ksuba is a Shtar moment, not a Shtar of Isha Veheta. He's not the Kaddish the Isha with the Shtar. That's why it doesn't make any sense. In the last 50 years, more than 50 years maybe, they came up with a new chumra that doesn't make any sense at all. That since we paskin Eidim and Sirikarasi, so you have to have kosher Eidim watching when the chosin gives the ksuba to the kala. That's a mistake. Eidim and Sirikarasi only applies to all machlokes. Eidim and Sirik, Eidim Hasima only applies to a shtar kinyan. Do you need Eidim and Sirik? But a ksuba is not a shtar kinyan. Ksuba is a shtar raya. They already made a kinyan suitor. And the shtar is, because we, the undersigned, made a kinyan chalipim with the husband, and the ksuba is the shtaraya to the fact that there was a kinyan suitor, and the chiyuv exists already. So by shtaraya raya, nobody holds Eidim Mesirah Karsi. No sheet in the world. If the ksuba would be, he's mekadosh the woman with the ksuba, he wouldn't be able to use a printed text. A shtar kiddushin is a shtar that affects the change in isa v'heta. A shtar kiddushin has to be written l'shma. The ksubas are not written l'shma. The ksubas are printed by goyim. They have a printing press, they print the ksuba. You fill in the names. But have a lili into that says neksuba, that's not printed l'shma. That's not l'shma. So it doesn't make sense that they should require a lot of the new, the last 60 years or so, a new shtick that you need Eid Mesira watching when you give over the ksuba. It doesn't make any sense at all. The whole Eid Mesira karsa only applies by shtar kinyan. If it would have been a shtar kinyan, that's a shtar kiddushin, you would have needed lushma. You don't need lushma because it's a shtar raya. It's a shtar raya amominus, not a shtar raya in any, not an isa v'heter at all. So that's where Moshe thinks that we paskin like Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai. They were together by Maimer Echad, and they were outvoted. Omda Laminyan, whenever it's Omda Laminyan, then you only say Elu V'Elu to the extent that you, when you learn Shittas Beis Shammai, you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but it's not Elu V'Elu Halacha L'Maaser. That's what the Gemara says, Beis Shammai Mokam Sula in a Mishnah, but what the Namir Moshe says, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, we're all by Maimer Echad, and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was outvoted. Yeah. Where else is there such an issue that you say, and therefore the minority opinion that we don't accept is sometimes relevant to Halacha? So there's such a concept, and it didn't turn into any moments. There's a concept that the Achronim developed a lot, but it's based on this Gemara of Elu Yehuda. Let's say there's a din Torah between Reuven and Shimon, and one of the two is muchzak on the money. One of them is holding on to the money. And then the Rabbanim want to apply a din. There's a machlokes, and the Psak Halacha is like the majority opinion. So the one is a muchzak can say, Kimli kishita sayochid. Since I'm muchzak, I hold like the shita. What do you mean he holds? He doesn't know how to hold the Gemara. He doesn't know which way to hold the Gemara. What do you mean he holds? Well, he's a Tamachachim. He's entitled to an opinion. He's not entitled to an opinion. It means when someone is muchzak, there's a din of hamotzim chaver all over Raya. So if the fellow tainis, I heard that there's a machlekes, what the din is, and I'm muchzak, I want to hold on to my money. So whenever there's any sofik, even if it's not a sofik 50-50, sofik 85% of the poskim hold he has to pay. But 15% hold that he doesn't have to pay. So we say, Ein halcha b'mamon acha arayv. You can't be motzi mamon based on arayv. So it's not right. You shouldn't be motzi the mamon based on a majority shita. So the poskin came up with this idea. If the one who's muchzak on the mamon, tainis, kimlik, and shita zayachet, I understand there's a machlekes, and I'm muchzak on the money, and I don't want you to be mechayv me based on a majority opinion. So that's such a din. He's muchzak on the money, and you say that that's called the sofik holdahu, and you can't take the money away from him. So what happens? So there's a Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer, there's a Simon Ebenezer, I think a Simon Pei. The din is habal yorish hishtoy. The husband, if the wife dies first, the husband yarshins the wife. If the husband dies first, the wife does not yarshin the husband. She's entitled to collect her ksuba. That's a fortune of money. And she's entitled to remain living. Kolzman, she doesn't collect the ksuba. She can live in the home where she lived with her husband all the years. And the home doesn't belong to her. It belongs to the Yarshim. She has the right to stay in that home until she remarries, until she expresses an interest in remarrying. But the first year or so, she'd lived with her husband for a long time. He's not interested in remarrying. So the Yisayim HaMamuchayiv in Mizonis HaAlmanah, Kolzman, she doesn't collect the ksuba. Alman and Nizainis Menichse Yisayim. That's the name of the parak. Alman and Nizainis and ksubas. She's entitled to collect the Nizainis, and she has the right to live. Atahi Asa Bebesi, Mitzvah Menachasa, Kol Yimei Megam Almanusa. She has the right to remain living in the house that doesn't belong to her, belongs to the Yarshim. And she has the right to live, to support herself from the assets of the husband that go Birusha to the Yarshim. She's entitled to the Mizainis. So So there's a big machlokes harishayim. It's the rimagash against everybody else. How do we read the Gemara in Baba Kama? The Mishnah says Abal Yerush Hishtai only applies b'muchzak, not b'ra'oi. Let's say a fellow's married, and his wife is the bas yechida of a father-in-law. Father-in-law is a multimillionaire. So after the wife dies, then the father-in-law dies afterwards. So does the son-in-law yarshin the father-in-law? The wife should yarshin bekever. Wife died before her father, and she's the only child. So when the father dies, this woman should yarshin bekever. That's the expression we use, yarshin bekever. And the money should go to her yarshim. Who are her yarshim? Her husband. So the husband gets the Yerusha from the father-in-law. So that's what the Mishnah says. No, haba yarsha sishta only beruch, but muchzak not beruch. The husband only gets the Yerusha that the wife had during her lifetime. But if the father dies, the father-in-law dies after the wife, so the wife never had it. The wife came into that money, she was yarish bekeva after she died. After she died, the husband's not married to her anymore. So he's not entitled to get that Yerusha. So that's the din. Abar Yerush HaSisha is only b'mukhzak and not b'ro'i. So there's such a din by Pishnaim also. The B'chor gets Pishnaim. It says in the Chumash, as HaB'chor ben Aslo Yaka lo Aslo Pishnaim b'chol HaShe'i Motzi lo. What do you mean b'chol HaShe'i Motzi lo? So the Gemara says b'mukhzak v'lo b'ro'i. What's an example? So let's say Yankov and Esav are twin brothers. They're the two children of Yitzchak Avinu. Let's say, for argument's sake, that Yankov is the Bchor and Esav is the Poshut. Maybe the other way, but whatever. Let's say, nicer to say it like that. Yankov, let's say, is entitled to two portions of Yerusha. He gets 2/3. And Esav gets 1/3. So what if the case, it wasn't like that. What if the case would be Avram Avinu is still alive when Yitzchak dies? So when Yitzchak dies, he's a millionaire, multimillionaire. So his money goes by Yerusha to the two children, Yankov and Esav. Yankov gets 2/3, and Esav gets 1/3. Yankov is titled Pishnaim, he's a Bchor. But what about the Yerusha from Avram Avinu? So Yitzchak Yarshin's Bekever, Yitzchak predeceases Avram. Yitzchak dies before his father Avram Avinu dies. That's not what happened, but let's say for argument's sake, if it would be like that. So Yitzchak would Yarshin Bekever, Lahanchal to his two sons, the multi-million dollars that Avram Avinu had. So Yankov Avinu doesn't get a double portion in that, because Pesach says, as Rabchor ben Asno Yaka Lasla Pishnaim, B'chol HaShe'i Motzil, only Memuchzok and not Beroy, only what the father had at the time of death. If the father, Yitzchak, didn't have the assets from Avram yet, Avram Avinu is still alive, he has his own assets. If Yitzchak dies before Avram, then Yitzchak Yarshin's Bekeva L'Hanchel Abonav, so Yankov doesn't get Pishnaim on that, because it's Ro'i and Abchor Notol Beroy Ken Memuchzok. So the Gemara has a machloekes satanoim. What about the following case? Let's say Yitzchak is a very wealthy man, and he lent out a fortune of money. He lent out thousands and thousands of dollars to other people. He didn't collect it back till after he dies. After he dies, then the people who borrowed the money come and they give back all the money to the Yerushim. So the halvor, the amount of money that was lent out, the father had it before he died. The wealthy father died. Had all of this money at one time, but then he lent it out to other people. Didn't collect it after he died. Is that called muchzak or is that called ro'i? So that's a machlokes hatanaim in Yesh Nochlin. And we paskin that that's called ro'i. That's not called muchzak. The b'chor does not get a milveh. The b'chor doesn't get pishnaim and halvor unless it was collected mechai ha'av. But if it's only collected after the death of the father, then the b'chor doesn't get pishnaim. That's how we paskin. So the Rimigash has a girsa in the Gemara in Baba Kama that all the other Rishayim say is a mistake. His girsa in the Gemara was that Habal Yerush HaSishta B'muchzak V'lo B'ro'i is only a problem if the father-in-law dies after the wife died. But if the wife lent money out to other people and they collect the money later, that's not called Ro'i, that's called Muchzak B'negiat Habal Yerush HaSishta, and the husband does Yerush. So none of the Rishonim agree with the Rimagash. So we don't pass them like the Rimagash. So the Beis Shmuel has a Shaila. What if you have such a situation? And after the wife passed away, the people who borrowed money from her come to the husband sitting Shiva and they give him hundreds of thousands of dollars that that she lent out to them, and everybody comes and they pay back all the money. And the husband is not holding the kish. He's muchzik on the money. Can he say, Kimli kishitas hari megash? Can he have the right to say, I'm muchzik? And Eilu Eilu David Kimchaim, even though the Rimgash was outvoted, but still, it's a Safik Holdahu. And you have no right to be Motzi Mamon from a Muchzak if there's a Safik Holdahu. So maybe he can say Kimli. So the Shmuel says, you only have a right to say Kimli if there's a significant minority opinion that's not accepted. But if it's so insignificant, it's a Shita Yechidah, only the Rimagash was a goyin agoyim, okay, but he's the only one who says that. All the other Rishonim disagree. They say that his girsa is absolutely incorrect. So it's a shita yichidah legamrei. So then you don't say elu li elu halacha lamaisa. You wouldn't say elu li elu halacha lamaisa. So then the Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer and Simon Pei, I think it is by Habal Yerusha Sishna, the Beis Shmuel says, but the Magen Mishnah thinks that the Rambam agrees with the Rimagash. So if the Rambam agrees with the Rimagash, then it's not a Shita Yechidah. It's too significant, Rishonim. So he says, no. He says, the Rambam was so in awe of the Rimagash, his father, Rabbeinu Maimon, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, the Rambam's father, Rabbeinu Maimon, learned by the Rimagash. Rimagash was a Talmud of the Rif. The Rif lived in Fez. Rabbi Nitzchak Al-Fazi means that he lived in Fez. Fez is in Morocco. And then, when the Rif was 75 years old, some goyim started a whole, they attacked him in court that he violated the deed of the Mahusa, they should put him in prison. So he ran away from Morocco, he ran away to Spain. Just go by Gibraltar over there. There's by the Straits of Gibraltar, you can see the tip of Africa from Spain. You can see there hardly any space. One is next to the other. So they used to run away. There would always be pogroms in Europe, so they would run to Morocco. There would be pogroms in Morocco, they would run to Europe. It wasn't so far away. So when they accused the Rif of being Morid by Malchus, they wanted to put him in prison. So he ran away to Spain, and he started a second career at the age of 75, and he went strong till the age of 90. And all the famous Talmidim of the Rif are from the second career. If he weren't successful, he was successful the first career also. But all the famous Talmidim were from the second career. So the Rimagash was one of the Talmidim of the Rif in the second career in Spain. So the Shmuel writes, the Rambam writes in one place that his father took him to meet the Rimagash when he was a little boy. Father took him to meet his Rebbe, the Rimagash, and he gave him a bracha, he should be matzlich and learning. So his whole success later in life, that he grew up to be the big famous Rambam, the Rambam attributed to the bracha that the Rimagash gave him. So he was so in awe of the Rimagash, he has an expression, he wrote it in Arabic, we read it in Hebrew, he writes, Sichlo Mavis, the Chol HaTalmud. He was scary. He knew so much, he was like an encyclopedia, a walking encyclopedia, he knew everything. So the Beis Shmuel says, you can't really count that as two shitas, the Rambam and the Rimagash. He was so in awe of the Rimagash, he's naturally going to say what the Rimagash says unless he thought about it for a long time and he had the guts to disagree. So you count it as if it's only one shita. So it's a shita yechidah. The Rimagash is shita by Abal Yerusha Zishtoi. That halvo is not considered roi, it's considered muchzak. He says it's only the Rimagash. And even if it's true that the Rambam agrees with the Rimagash, questionable, Magen Mishnah thinks the Rambam holds like the Rimagash. Even if it were true, it's still a Shita Yechidah. Whenever it's a Shita Yechidah, so this Klal Eilu V'Eilu Divil Kim Chaim and Kimli, all these things don't apply. So these are some of the, so the Koheles Yankiv, that's the Mishkanes Yankiv, and his Sefer Koheles Yankiv on Brochas, on this Daf Yeral V'Manal, he learns that's the Shaila. Also, Kedibim B'Shamay, where's Machlegis? Tony Rabbi Cheskel against Rabbi Yosef. The machlekes was not a yotze if you do like Beis Shammai. That's not the machlekes. Machlekes was, does it constitute amidas chasidus to be choshish for Beis Shammai? What's the issue? Because you only say elu elu devil kim chayim when it wasn't amdu l'minyan. Over here, Beis Shammai and Bissel were always voting on everything. They were in the same base medish. So since it was amdu l'minyan, the other one was also amdu l'minyan. The one about eating chutz l'suka, eating in the suka and the shulchan is chutz l'suka. Also, it was om de l'minyan, so he passed on like Beshame there. Here it was om de l'minyan when he gave to the Kriya Shema b'hatoyah. So whenever it's Beshame and Besul, they're in the same base manager, om de l'minyan, then you don't see all these nafkaminis between Eilevel, Divilikim, Chaim, Halacha, Lamaisa, don't apply. So that's quite an interpretation. It's not at all the way Tosfos learned. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Shemaya. Yeah, the other Pshat, Abkin Pirsha, Rabbeinu Shemaya. Rabbeinu Shemaya, I think, was the Talmud of Rashi. Tosfos learned the other Pshat, that Belechtuch Abaderach Kalodim Kari Kedak, according to Basil, you're not allowed to do like Bishama. Not just that we don't pasken like Bishama. You're not allowed. The Pasuk says you're not allowed to do like Bishama. So you recited Kriyashma by doing in a fashion that the Torah says you're not allowed to do it like that. So that's the din. If you did a mitzvah and the Torah tells you, don't do it like that. So does that mean you're not yotzei? It just means you don't have to do like that. And we assume it means you're not yotzei if you do it like that. But like you're not supposed to, you're not yotzei at all. So that's what we left off last week. So we got to the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Then the Mishnah, next Mishnah has the three birchas Kriya Shema. So we said there's a Tshuva HaRashba where the Rashba points out that the three parshas in Shema, Shema Vayam, Shema Vayam, and the three birchas Kriya Shema, each one of the three brachas corresponds to each one of the three parshas of the Shema, and each bracha spells out the themes of that parsha. So the first bracha, Vayom, is pretty short. It's the bracha balayla at night. Shevedor mariv aravim. Golulam nechoshet chol shel kampeyor. The first parsha Shema says Hashem lakein Hashem echad. There's only one God. You over there, but you used to believe there's a God of light and a God of darkness, a God of good and a God of evil. And you say Yotzer or vechoshech. The same God makes light and darkness. Yotzer or. Osir Shalom of Varei Ra. The pasuk says of Varei Ra. We don't say it like that. We say Varei Sakol. But everything that happens in the world is from the Rabbanu Shalom. Hashem Echad. In Shacharis, we have it a little longer. So we say the Kedusha that the Malachim say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvok, Tzvok, Vod Hashem, Im Kaiman. That's all Kabbalah Salmach HaShamayim. That's the theme of the first parsha in Shema, is Kabbalah Salmach HaShamayim. So that's the theme of the first bracha in Kriya Shema. The second parsha is Kabbalah Sol Torah, Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. So you have Abba Rabba, Abba Salam, is Birchas HaTorah. The Gemara is going to have on Yud Aleph on the base. If a person, when a person wakes up in the morning, he should really say Birchas HaTorah right away. People learning the yeshiva, and they start to think in learning. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, if you only mahar b'divrei Torah, there's no need to recite b'divrei Torah in advance. Only if he's saying over b'divrei Torah, it's there. But the Vilna Gaon is chaylik on the Shulchan Aruch. The Vilna Gaon thinks that v'hagyesa b'yam v'alayla, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah can be fulfilled. The machshava say he thinks he should say b'chas ha-Torah, even if you want to be mahar b'divrei Torah. So you should really say yeshiva boys who are thinking and learning. They're learning all day long. So they should recite Birchas HaTorah when they wake up early in the morning. What if a person didn't recite Birchas HaTorah, but he said Abba Rabba already? So the Gemara says, on the basis, he would say that Abba Rabba, Abba Salam, can take the place of the Birchas HaTorah. We'll have to discuss that a little more. Tosfos gives you more details over there. And then the third parsha is about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's what Emes V'Yatzi, Emes V'Emunah, is about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mikradin, he really yotzei without giving details. Sipa yitzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night. Sipa means to tell barichas. Kalamar b'dasapa reza meshubach. In zechiras yitzias Mitzrayim means you say bekitza. Sipa yitzias Mitzrayim means to tell yisapa lacherim. You got to levincha. That's on Pesach night. All year long, you don't have to tell vayomer to somebody else. You talk to yourself. You say vayomer. And on Pesach night, you should talk about all the esamakas, everything. And you should talk about Kriyas Yamsuf also. Makas Bukharis and Kriyas Yamsuf. Every day you don't have to. Minatar, you don't have to. The Rabbanan, the Rishami quotes the Tosefta here, all the Rishani quoted. The Rishami quotes the Tosefta that Midirabbanan, they instituted that one of the dinim of Pesach night should be observed all year long. Namely, when you say Emes V'Yatzav, Emes Hamuna, you should mention Makas B'Chairis, and you should mention Kriyas Yamsuf. So we do that with the Rabbanah, we do that. But we don't have all the other details. You don't tell about all the Esamakas. You only mention about Makas B'Chairis and Kriyas Yamsuf. You don't tell the rest of the Esamakas. You don't tell the Sapel Acherim. And it's not Derech Sheila Tshuva regarding the Mitzvahs Alayla. It's not Pesach. Why should you talk about Mitzvahs Alayla? Pesach night, that's the way to fulfill the Mitzvah of Sipi Tzeres and Sraim. It should be Derech Sheila Tshuva Acherim regarding the Mitzvahs Alayla. You should tell about all the Esamakas. So the third parsha of Vayomer is because of Zechirat Tzeres and Sraim. So Emes V'Yatzav Emes Hamuna, the Baruch ends all Gaul Yisrael. That gives you more details about the Yetzias Mitzrayim. It mentions that you add on the two things, Midrabbani. You add on about the Makas Bechairis and Kriyas Yamsav are added on. So basically, there are three Brachos Kriyashma that correspond to the three Parshios. Myra, if you have a fourth Bracha Hashkiveinu, that's not the same as the others. The Gemara says that sometimes we had the Gemara before two blocked early on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara said that sometimes if you're going to say Kriyat Shema Shalayla very late at night after Alos Hashachar in the morning, you'll be Eitzei Kriyat Shema, but you should say the Birchas Kriyat Shema, but you shouldn't say Hashkiveinu. Hashkiveinu is when it's normal to go to sleep. It's not normal to go to sleep after Alos Hashachar. So if you didn't say Hashkiveinu, you don't say then. So basically, when the Gemara said there, V'vacho l'yama Hashkiveinu, that's in Dalet Amud Aleph, the fifth line from the top. The fourth line from the top of Tes Amud Aleph. So you see, the Hashkiveinu is not really part of the Birchas Kriyashma. It's a separate tefillah. There's a time that you say the other Birchas Kriyashma, the three brachas, and you don't say the Hashkiveinu, because it's not the normal time that people are going to sleep. That's what the Mishnah says. Shachris, there are three brichas kriyashma, but Myra, there are four. Shtaim lefanel, shtaim lachreya, including the Hashkiveinu. Then it says, achas arucha v'achas kitzora. What does that mean? So Rashi interprets one pshat, and Tosfos has a totally different pshat, totally different. Rashi learns, the two brachas that you say by Myriv, after kriyashma, what does Rashi say? Ashtaim lachreya da arviskoi. The shtaim lachreya is Hashkiveinu. It is emes v'emuna in Hashkiveinu. So Rashi said, emes v'emuna is much longer than Hashkiveinu. So the achas harucha, one of the two brachas after kriyashma shal arvis, one of them is long and one of them is short. Emes v'emuna is the long one, and Hashkiveinu is the short one. Short. That's how Rashi translates. Taisus Taina, is that a din? Is that a din or just a description? So the Balei HaTaisus were in the practice of reciting, including Piyutim, every month in Adonishtik. They had it all on Shabbos Parsha Zohar, Piyutim, and the Dalai Parshios, and Yavim Tovim, you had on Piyutim. They added on a lot of Piyutim. So there were some times when they would add on so many Piyutim into Hashkiveinu, Hashkiveinu with the Piyutim would be longer than Emes V'Emuna. So the Mishnah sounds like it's a din. Achas Arucha v'Achas Ktzora, the two brachas after Kriyashma Shalayla. One should be long, one should be short. Sometimes the Emes V'Yatzev is shorter than the Hashkiveinu. You make Hashkiveinu much longer because of the Piyutim. So that's what motivates the Rabbin at times to say Pshat. Achas Arucha v'Achas Ktzora means it doesn't make a difference whether the bracha will be long or short. If you want to add piyutim into Hashkiveinu, making it to a longer bracha, five times as long, that's acceptable. And they show that there are many mishnayos like that. Achas aruchas v'achas nesuas. It doesn't mean that one is an arus. It means that din applies both to arusas and to nesuas. Achas psulas v'achas beulas. The din applies whatever din they're talking about over there. Achazeh v'achazeh. The din applies both in this case and that case. Here the Mishnah says, achas aruchas v'achas ksora. Rashi interprets one of the two brachas after Kriyashma Shal Arvis should be an Arucha and one of them should be a Ktzor. Tosfos says it doesn't mean that. It's talking about the same bracha. The bracha doesn't make a difference whether Hashkivein will be a bracha arucha or a bracha ktsar. If you want to make it longer than Emes v'yatsiv, isn't it? Emes v'emunah, isn't it? Emes v'emunah is usually longer than Hashkivein. But if you want to reverse and make Hashkivein longer and Emes v'emunah shorter, that's acceptable. That was a big machlekes. Are you permitted to add piyutim? These are the Bali Atesis. The Netziv has a tshuva in the Meshav Dovah. He said basically there were three opinions. One opinion, never allowed to add any piyutim, period. Second opinion, always add whenever you want piyutim. That's Rabbi Netam. You're allowed to add piyutim whenever you want, and you can make a bracha much longer than it normally was. And then there's a compromise sheet that the Netziv says is more common, that only in Aseres Yemei Tshuva can you add. That's not the common practice. They used to have piyutim on Shabbos HaGadol, on Shabbos on Purim. They have piyutim printed in the middle of Chazaras HaShans.
So there are all the medieval Machzorim from the Tkufa of Tosfos, and some of them, it's not that there is different piyutim that they would insert, is that they had a whole different nusach. Like on Shabbos, they wouldn't say Emes V'Emunah, they would say Az V'Yom HaShvi'i Nachta. There's a whole other nusach.
Yeah.
So is that considered like a piyut, or is that considered, what is that considered?
That's a problem. We usually assume that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola composed all the brachas, and the Gemara says you shouldn't be Mishana. You shouldn't compose your own bracha. That's a question. That a piyut, okay, you're saying what the Anshei Knesset HaGdola recommended, and you add piyutim. So Tosin says, the Mishnah says it's mutter to add piyutim. Where the Rabbi Netam reads the Mishnah, achas arucha v'achas ksara, doesn't make a difference. If you make a bracha that should have been shorter, make it longer, doesn't make a difference. It's acceptable. So the Mishnah is saying you're permitted to add piyutim. And the others read the Mishnah like Rashi. So there is no Mishnah that says you have permission to add piyutim. But the mission to change the whole text, that's very problematic. Rabbi Soloveitchik's family meaning was that they didn't say piyutim. They wouldn't say piyutim because of hefsek. But when they came to America, their conservatives were changing. They were changing all the tefillos. The reform and they were changing all the tefillos as if they're the balabatim. So he put his foot down. He said, "You got to say every word that's printed in the siddur." Then his shul, they said all the piyutim. He said that was the first time in my life that I ever said all the kinnis on Tisha B'Av. I always daven my father's shul. You never said all the kinnis. After people had to go to work on Tisha B'Av, so you had to abridge all the kinnis. We never said all the piyutim. All the piyutim printed in the siddur. Most of the shuls don't say all those piyutim. Rabbi Soloveitchik was fighting against the conservatives, so he said, we have no right to change anything in the text of the siddur. So he made him say every word, every piyut they had to say. Well, his great-grandfather, the Beis HaLevi, was the father of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. So his first marriage ended in a divorce. Because he never said any of the piyutim. He learned the Valojim. They never said the piyutim. And he, when he got married, so he was Fayontif, he was by the outlaws, by the in-laws, whatever. So Yontif fell out on Shabbos and Shabbos. But he said, this piyut, that piyut, what piyut? He said, he doesn't know what piyutim. So the brothers of the wife said, he's an Amoritz. They said, he's a big Amoritz, an Amoritz. So they forced him to get divorced. They forced his sister to divorce him because he doesn't know what piyutim he's supposed to say. So then he was trying to argue with them. They should give him a break. They shouldn't get divorced. They insisted they have to get divorced. And then when they were talking about how to write the get, they said his name is Yosef Dov, and they called him Ber, Yosher Ber. So the Dayanim was saying how they're going to write the get, so he was disagreeing with them. So they said to him, young man, we're the Dayanim. He said, but I'm the Baal. You can't write the get different from what I think. You need Sivir HaBaal. You have to listen to me. They can't listen to you. And he was showing them in Shulchan Aruch where they were wrong. So they had their charetz for the young guy. So then the brothers of the wife had charot that they saw the Dayanim have respect for him. So they said, don't get to us. It's too late. They already gave him such a hard time. So he remarried. So he lost his first wife because of the piyutim, because he never said piyutim. In their family, they never said piyutim. But in America, Rabbi Soloveitchik Institute, you got to say every word in the siddur. We're not the balabatim on the siddur. Then it sounds like you shouldn't have piyutim. Welcome Shom Laharach, and Oshel Lekatzel, Lekatzel, and Oshel Laharach. If it's supposed to be a bracha, so we're not supposed to make it long. So Tosis says we add long piyutim, we do make it long. So many Rishonim interpret a bracha ktsara versus bracha arucha doesn't mean how many pages does it take up in the siddur. It means, but the next line spells it out. Lachsam enem ashay shalol lachsam. Shalol lachsam enem ashay lachsam. Let's say Kiddush on Shabbos. Say Baruch Atah Hashem Lekenem Al-Khoylem. Shekiddushan Mitzvah Sabir Otsavon. Then you end up Baruch Atah Hashem Lekadesh HaShabbos. So a bracha that's Pesach is B'Baruch. V'Chosem is B'Baruch. That's called the bracha arucha. And Shehakol Nibidvorah, or something like that, or Bar Pi Agafen, that's a bracha tzara. It's not posach es bebarach and chosem es bebarach. So those Rishonim say, you are permitted to add piyutim. So that's not what it means. Mokran shomol katzarein amashay laharich. No, achas haruchah achas tzara means you have a right to add on piyutim. So what does this mean? Mokran shomol laharich and amashay lakatzah means you can't make it into a bracha tzara. It's supposed to be pasach es bebarach and chosem es bebarach. So when you make piyutim, you don't make piyutim, but it's still going to be a bracha arucha. Emes v'amuna, emes v'yatzim. It's still going to be a long, long bracha. It's still going to be pasach es bebarach or chosem es bebarach. Yeah, piyutim was a big machlokes. So the Netziv says that we basically follow the middle of the road sheet, which is not exactly true. That we only add piyutim on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Aseres Meitzuvah. Because those are you made tefillah. That's be'es tzorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging the whole world. That's an es tzorah. And even the Ramban holds that tefillah is lav deraisa, but tefillah be'es tzorah is a din deraisa. So that's what the Netziv says. Be'es tzorah, you're allowed to add piyutim because you want to enhance the davening. So that's the third minig, which he says is the most widespread minig. That's not exactly true. See, in Broyers, they say all the piyutim on Shabbos HaGadol and Shabbos after Yom Tov, two Shabbos before Yom Tov, they have a lot of piyutim that no one else says. But even the rest of the world, they don't only say piyutim in Aseres Meitzuvah. We have printed in the city, have piyutim that we said in the Chazaras Hashatz of Purim. Many shuls today don't say it anymore, but they used to have not only in Aseres Meitzuvah. So that's what the Netziv claims, that the three minhagim, and he says that that's the most common. That you only add piyutim in Aseres Meitzuvah because it's an es tzara. Yeah. So the Gemara says, what's the nusach habrach? Yotzvara varichosha. Fine. Based on the pasuk. Mishnah Bal Yanok. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
How do we qualify like Kiel Adon and like Kavashir Shabbos on Shabbos?
I don't know. Kiel Adon, the Rishonim say, in Shulchan Aruch it says, it was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. Is that historically correct? They say it was composed by them. And if you left it out, you have to repeat the bracha. It's ma'akev. And you shouldn't, let's say, if you're running late, they're ahead of you, you shouldn't leave out kelod. They say it's not a piyut, it's part of the text of the bracha. I was very surprised by that. I thought the kelod is probably a piyut that was added later. Don't know. In Shulchan Aruch, they say it's not a piyut, that it's ma'akev. If you left it out, you got to say over the bracha again. Very surprising. I'm sure they wrote studies on this, when all of these tefillahs were composed. They have to mention Midas Yom Balayla, Midas Laila Bayom. Fine, that's what the Mishnah says. Then there are two versions where they say, Ava Rabba, Ava Soilom. So Tosfos says, our meaning is we do a compromise. Shachas we say Ava Rabba, Mar we say Ava Soilom. Okay, that's our meaning. Lahagid babeka chazdecha v'menoscha balayla. The Gemara has on the next daf. Hagid babeka v'menoscha balayla. Laila represents when it's a dark period in Jewish history, and they're killing goyim every day. They're killing Jews. The goyim are killing Jews every day. A melchama or a pogrom or something like that. So we have to talk about emuna. We have emuna. Baka means when the sun is shining and it's happy, it's a golden era in Jewish history. and there are no pogroms. The last years since the Second World War till now, till Shmini Atzeres, was pretty peaceful for the Jews. Now on Shmini Atzeres, it was back to the old style, like all the pogroms. There was the last 80 years was a Yotzim and a Klal. Last 80 years was pretty peaceful for the Jews here in America. And now we're back to normal, this is like Jewish history always was. Always pogroms, always killing the Jews. Yeah. So the Gemara mentions that the night they say Emes v'Emuna because Emunoscha Balelos. In a dark period of history, you have to have Emuna, that Mashiach is going to come. And a good time when things are going well, then you say, L'hagi b'boiker chazdecha. B'boiker is when things are going well. So then the Gemara says about 20 lines from the top. The line begins, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol, Lishkim Lishnais. He wakes up in the morning and going to say Lishnais. If it would say Likros means to learn Tanakh, Mikro. Lishnais means to learn Torah Shabbat Peh. Asher Lekar Kriyashma Tzorach Levorach Hayap to say Birchas Hator, Mishakar Kriyashma. If you already said Kriyashma in the morning, ready Damon Shachris, Ain't Tzorach Levorach Birchas Hator, Washikra Nifta Be Ahava Rabba. But yet, if you didn't say Birchas HaTorah before the davening, you can be yotzei with Ahava Rabba. So here Tosfos quotes an opinion from the Yerushalmi, if the Ahava Rabba is only if Shona al Asar, only if he learned something, he said Ahava Rabba before Kriya Shema. But then he has Goal Yisrael, Emes V'Yatzu, Goal Yisrael. So he has to have Smichas Gudu L'Tvila. So we wouldn't let him say Shona al-Asar. He has to learn some Mishnah, he has to learn some Gemara, he has to learn something to demonstrate that he wants the Avar Rabba to serve as a Birchas HaTorah. Because every day, Avar Rabba just serves one of the Birchas Kriya Shema. And if he didn't say Birchas HaTorah yet, he wants it to serve as a Birchas HaTorah. He has to demonstrate that he wants. It has to be Shona al-Asar. He should learn some Torah Shabbat Peh, Shana. Shana means Mishnah Torah Shabbat Peh. He should learn some Torah. When is he going to learn? So he can't learn in between Avar Rabba and Kriya Shema. That's the middle of Bichas Kriya Shema. He can't say before Shema Nesrei, he needs Michas Gulat. He can't say in between Shema Nesrei and Tachnun. He's not allowed to be Mafsik. That's the Gemara in Bob Metzia. He's not allowed to be Mafsik between Shema Nesrei and Tachnun. He can't be Mafsik in between Tfilah Balachash and Chazar Sashat Zidah. So you have to wait till after the Chazan says the Chatzi Kaddish, after Tachnun, after the Chazan says the Chatzi Kaddish, then you can learn. Unless you're the Chazan. Unless you're the Chazan, you can't learn that. You have to say Ashrei V'Olatzion. So the first time you have it, if you're the Chazan, so you got to have Shana L'Asar. That's right after you finish the Shir Shal Yom. When you have the first available opportunity to learn a little bit, so you should learn something so that the Birchas HaTorah will relate. The Avar Rabba should be functioning as a Birchas HaTorah. You have to demonstrate. You have to do something. You have to go out of your way to demonstrate Shana L'Asar to show that you want the Avar Rabba to serve as a Birchas HaTorah. Because usually it does not serve as that. So that's why you need Shana L'Asar. So it's possible that it's a machlokes, the Bavli in Yerushalmi. If it's a machlokes, then we pass on like the Bavli. But it could be that it's not a machlokes. It could be that the Bavli also is maskim. To that condition, Shana al-Asar. Then Tosfos raises the question, you need Shana al-Asar every time you have Birchas HaTorah. So our practice is in the Siddur, after Birchas HaTorah, so it has Yivach Hashem Yishmarecha, then you have Eledram Shein Lahem Shir, Eledram Shein Mechel Perusein Ba'ilam Azeh, and then you have and then after that you have Yeah, Benoist is Selech Mira Alatzman, Shafili Rois Tipa Stam Kachai Vyasus Olu Shedin Ekiyim. That's the Gemara later. Ein Oimdim, in the fifth parak. Ein Oimdim Nespal Elimitoch Alocha Psuka. If you're in the middle of learning a complicated topic, it's not right to daven then, because you're going to be thinking in the middle of Shema Nesra, in the middle of Kriyashma, you're going to be thinking about the Tosfos and about the Rashba. So the Gemara says you should end up before you daven with halacha psuka that there's nothing to pilpul about. So the Gemara gives the example, one of the examples, that's on Lamed Aleph Amal. So the Rambam has that in his Siddur. When you say Birchas HaTeh, say Yirecha Hashem Yishmerecha, Eredvam She'enam She'eredvam She'anoechot Perisein Bo'el Mazeh, because the Rambam is assuming that you're reciting Birchas HaTeh right before you're about to daven. The Gemara says, Ein Abnav L'spala, L'mitoch Halacha P'suka, you should say that din, Abnav Yisrelech Mirah L'atzma. Not that there's nothing to discuss about that din. That din is also a lot to discuss. There's a big machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, machlekes in Mishnah that the Shach quotes, whether Bnei Yisrelech Mirah L'atzma, Bizman HaGemara was a minig, Echmira L'atzma. That's the Gemara in the end of Nida. So the Gemara says, Hechad de Nog Nog, Hechad de Lo Nog, Lo Nog. Not all the communities had that minig. Many didn't have that minig. But the Shad is Bizman Azeh. Maybe today, Menachem Mira Latzma, since it's mentioned in the Gemara, maybe it became a din de Rabban. Maybe it's no longer a minig. El Chapa Nafkamina, Halacha Lamaisa, a few Nafkaminas. But the Menachem Mira Latzma, is it a real din or the Rabban, or is it just a minig? So the Shach Paskins La'alocha that it's still only a minig. Even though it's worldwide, it's still only a minig. It's not considered a din. It has a nafkamina, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. The nafkamina is l'kula and l'chumra. Let's say a woman, sometimes women have a very short cycle. So if there's a difference between a nida and a zava, a nida doesn't need shivin again. A nida just has to wait 7 days. Let's say a woman starts having a Rias Nida on Thursday afternoon at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So when it comes next Wednesday, Thursday is the first day of Nida. She's a Nida for 7 days. She can go to Mikveh Wednesday night, next week, Wednesday night. If she's a Zava, the Zava means that Dam comes below Es Nidasa, not at the normal time. When is the normal time? So that the Mishnah, in the end of Nida, talks about Yur Al Yom Shebei Nida the Nida. That's the abnormal time. That's low Es Nidasa. Then she can become a Zava. So Zava needs Shivin Akim. Anita does need Shivin Akim. But that's a question. Meresha Lachmira Alatma, we always need Shivin Akim. So sometimes a woman can't have any children because she has such a short cycle. And if she would follow the Din Deraisa, she would have been able to have children. So that's a big shot. So if it's a Din Derabanan, it's a bigger problem. If it's only a minik, so then there's room to be Mekel. If it's only a minik, so you should be Mekel. So we Paskin, the Shach Paskin, even Bizman Hazeh, it's only a minig. It never was elevated to the level of a din de Rabban. All minhagim are binding with the Rabban and mitam neder, but it's still less than a din de Rabban. Less than a din de Rabban. So Rav Moshe Feinstein used to be a prominent Talmid Chacham of Yisrael Gusman. He, at a very young age, he married a descendant of Rabbi Sol Salanter. Rabbi Chaim Oso also married a descendant of Rabbi Sol, a granddaughter. So Rabbi Guzman also married a granddaughter, and he was the youngest Rav ever to be appointed a Rav, a Dayan, in Vilna. He was on Rabbi Chaim Oso's bezdin. And during the Second World War, he was a super genius, and he was a great goyin. He was in Siberia for a long time. And after the war was over, he came to America, made his own yeshiva. It was a big Talmid Chacham. So he has a tshuva at the end of his Sefer on Kiddushin. He has a tshuva about this, how he could be Mekel. And he says, Rav Moshe Feinstein was mitzaref with him, with another Talmid Chacham, to be Mekel in a big Shas HaTrak, that a woman should only have to observe the din of the Raisa of Shivas Yomim without the Shiva Nikim, because it's only a minik. And when a minik comes in conflict with the din, you have to observe the din. He quotes a Rambam like that. You have to observe the din. So there's a din of Piriviravya. The husband has to have children, and he's married to a woman who can't have any children because the cycle is so short. So whenever there's a conflict, so the minik is to be violated, and you have to observe the din. So he has a lot of details about this. Yeah, he was a strong Talmid Chacham, very strong. Okay, we got to stop here. What time is it now? Yeah, a little late. Okay. So the shaila is on Sunday. What are we up to already? Should we learn Can we pick up where we left off? Or should we start Chazara already? Where do we leave off? We left off right before the Mishnah on Chav Chesan days. So that's a shot, and maybe we should start Chazar already. So we're supposed to have a Bchina soon. Maybe instead of continuing on Sunday, maybe we'll start the Chazar. The Chazar is going to begin where again? Someone said Mem Tes on the days. Yeah. About how much bread do you have to eat to bench Birz HaMozna, Kezayis HaKadeitza? That's where we started this year. So that's when we started the second term. So we'll start. Maybe we'll start the Chazara on Sunday. From Mem Tes on the days. We completed Shlosh HaShach. We ran through Eved Var. Then we covered a lot of sections of Halacha in the last period. So we'll do that, and then we'll chaz it to what we got on. Okay.